This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio today on this Friday, the 3rd of June by...
Frida Liu yet again.
12.05 here in the studio, coming up to 12.06 on the start of a long weekend break. What have you got planned this weekend? Just like
that. At museum.
Oh, yes. You're going to the museum. Which one are you going to? You're just telling fibs, aren't you?
Spurred on by yesterday's conversation.
It was a good one yesterday.
It was.
Busy stuff yesterday. I've got the start of my wedding extravaganza. Not my wedding, I should just very quickly clarify. A wedding extravaganza. What I thought was happening on Saturday is actually on Sunday. So the wedding is Sunday and Monday. Okay. And then next week it's another one.
Wow.
Yeah, wedding season all over, right? Anyway, enough about our little lives. If you want to get in touch with us about today's show, we're talking about digital transformation in a travel-ready Malaysia. Some of us have had the pleasure to travel around already, Frida. Some of us have not, but will be doing soon. So after 2 years of stringent border controls, Malaysia transitioned to the endemic phase a couple of months ago. The nation has not only welcomed back international travellers, but accelerated business digitalisation by 3 to 4 years to get the country back on track and boost economic growth. While the issue of digital acceleration isn't new, we're only now seeing how the travel space has coped with years of pressure from the pandemic. And it seems as though within this space, there are opportunities for digital transformation unlike anything we've seen before.
Right. So since this is a wide topic, we're going to focus on two major things, one of which is digital transformation as a whole, and we'll also focus a little bit on tech evolution within the travel industry. So we'll be getting in touch with a couple of experts later in the show to weigh in on this, as well as the broader topic of digitalization. For starters, Finance Minister Dato Sri Tengku Zafrul Abdul Aziz recently said that Malaysia needs an inclusive digital transformation plan to build a competitive and progressive digital economy.
So this happened during a discussion called A Digital ASEAN for All on the first day of the World Economic Forum. He shared Malaysia's success on initiatives in bridging the financing gap for micro, small and medium enterprises, MSMEs, as well as the informal economy. According to the finance minister, when the world was hit by COVID-19, internet users increased by more than 10% in just 1 year, adding that the digital economy of the ASEAN region is now worth more than $100 billion. That's 439.3 billion ringgit with a B.
With a B. Now, as we mentioned earlier, the tourism and hospitality industry were among the hardest hit during the pandemics, because Malaysia has a thriving travel and tourism economy. This led to adverse circumstances. In the first 9 months of 2020, tourism receipts plunged 80.9% to 12.6 billion from 66.1 billion. That said, the opening of the country's borders on April 1st signals hope for the tourism industry. Now, while the tourism and hospitality industries are on the road to recovery, both these businesses are grappling with new realities. Fewer business travellers, no contact preferences, and higher overall expectations are some of the factors that will continue to shape customer experience within the leisure, travel and tourism industries in the region.
So we dug around a little bit and found an interesting piece on the Sun Daily by Ravi Saraogi, co-founder and president of Asia Pacific at Unifor, in which he talks about the role of AI in the travel industry. We've had him on the station before, so do look up that podcast on all of our platforms. Firstly, wooing today's traveller will require a focus on optimising a customer's journey, eliminating those friction points and personalising the experience before, during and after travel. So seamless, personalised experiences.
Right. We don't want friction.
No.
So adopting digital touch points and services became a top priority versus a nice-to-have offering in the travel space. Consumers that move from in-person to online are not likely to return to old habits, meaning that expectations are higher for greater user experience as they shop, book and change travel plans online. However, travellers also expect a personalised, empathetic experience with customer service, including interacting with agents who understand the issue and can quickly help resolve it. So optimising customer experience starts by understanding every conversation before, during and after an agent traveller interaction, from self-service to agent assistance to after-call follow-up and fulfilling promises made during the call.
Scaling self-service. So conversational AI for traveler self-service helps brands strengthen engagement with customers and improve satisfaction for routine interactions before, during and after a trip, while reducing the volume in the contact center by 15% or more. For example, a customer can call to make a reservation and interact with a voice bot, IVA, using natural language understanding technologies which eliminate friction in the reservation process to enable travelers to easily complete the booking. Seamlessly connected with the reservation and customer relationship management systems, the IVA simplifies the transaction by automatically confirming the details required to book the travel and uses the customer's previous travel history to make personalized upselling offers. However, there are those times when you know as well as I do, you want to speak to a real person.
Yes, right. So anyway, the guest is supported throughout the trip with proactive alerts based on location, and it's also offered requests such as scheduling a late checkout. Routine requests are quickly handled so staff can focus on more high-touch interactions to drive superior guest experiences. After the trip, the IVA proactively engages customers, for example, to book their next trip or complete a survey.
So keep in mind that Unifor produces a conversational AI platform, which is why the article is so focused on that aspect, but it doesn't take away from the core message. The travel space is the perfect playground for unique tech solutions, especially because borders have opened up recently. After the break, we'll be getting in touch with Praveen Kumar. He's the senior vice president and GM of Asia Pacific for Rocket Software to talk about the state of digital transformation in the country and the region.
Right. And after that, we'll get Ajit Melakorde, vice president of APJ for Boomi, on the line to get his thoughts on the matter as well. So, you know, just looking at this, and you were saying, I haven't traveled overseas yet. I've just traveled, well, overseas to Sabah, right? But, you know, like when we're so used to doing online bookings and reservations and all that, what was seriously still lacking was trying to book directly with the resort, the places that I want to. Because, you know, like we're so used to doing our own sort of itinerary. And in the end, I still had to work with the travel agent. You know, no offense, but I mean, you know, I would have rather had that experience myself, right? And you know, having to go through a travel agent. So there's still different layers. So here we talk about digitalization, and if I can't still make that booking directly, we've really got to, you know, raise our game.
I mean, a few years ago, there was a place I wanted to travel to, and it was in Thailand, and they were on none of the travel websites, nothing like that. And the only way that I can get in touch with them was via Facebook.
Right.
And even then,
yes,
the messages would come back late because their internet connection was sketchy. And it was like, oh, how do I do this? And by the time I managed to get through, oh, sorry, we're fully booked. Nothing more frustrating. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. And of course, we do have guests sitting on the line waiting for us. So we need to take a break with some music. We've got the Temper Trap up first with Sweet Disposition. If you want to get in touch with us and let us know your travel plans, if you've had any, if you've managed to go anywhere, or even if you're planning to, get us via WhatsApp first, 018-789-8899. Twitter, we are at BFM Radio. We'll be back in just a few moments on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Baba from Malacca, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu.
We are talking about digital transformation in a travel-ready Malaysia. And after 2 years of stringent border controls, we are we have transitioned to the endemic phase. Yay! A couple of months ago, we've not only welcomed back international travellers, but accelerated business digitalization by 3 to 4 years to get the country back on track and boost economic growth. That's the idea anyway. And food prices might say something else about that. But if you want to get in touch with us, don't forget, we are on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. We've got a couple of guests that we've got lined up coming up in just a moment. First up, Praveen Kumar, the Senior Vice President and GM of Asia Pacific for Rocket Software. So first off, Praveen, what is the state of digital transformation in the SEA kind of APAC region compared to before the pandemic? Can you let us know?
Hi, thank you for sparing time to have a chat with me. The state of digital transformation across Southeast Asia and Asia Pacific was already moving at a rapid pace. The pandemic just fast-forwarded that entire conversation. Rocket has been very actively involved over the past 5 to 6 years with companies who are looking to modernize as well as scale up their digital transformation experience. And the best part about what happened during COVID is people who were having a longer term roadmap for digital transformation, which was spanning 5 to 6 years, fast forwarded that and said, let's try and do it within 2 or 3. And that means that they have to do a lot more investments. But if you notice, most investments that happen in digital transformation or modernization to a great extent, more than 30% of that actually ends up redone, i.e., you'd end up doing it right now, but you would then find out there's a problem in this, and then you have to redo that entire exercise again because there was a learning from the earlier activity that you did. And that's where companies like Rocket come in and say, you should not be wasting those funds of trying to redo things again and again. Let's just make sure that you do it right the first time so that you save a lot of funds. And that's something we have tried to educate our customers during the pandemic, because when you do things in a rushed manner, you think that's possibly the best way to do it. And then after you run it for a couple of years, you say, hey, this thing was not done correctly. The integration was not proper. The storage data backup was not done correctly, blah, blah, blah. So you end up doing that entire investment again. And that means you wasted your investment in the first part.
Right. Got it. So now that borders have reopened and the world is ready to embrace traveling again, what kind of services do we expect to see pop up from this leap in digitalization?
The borders have been reopened and the world is really excited. If you look at people like me, myself personally, who used to travel significantly pre-pandemic, for 2 years, I was literally locked down. I could hardly travel to any country with the family. It was exciting. No complaints about it. But the fact was the ability to meet customers and articulate how exhaustive their IT setup can be in terms of how complicated and how we can simplify them, and also understand their challenges so that we can try and formulate solutions for that, was something we missed and tried to do it digitally. It helped us to a certain extent tactically and certain strategic decisions. We were part of certain strategic decisions where some banks had to change their entire automation and their process automation exercise, and we helped them with software for that during the pandemic. But as much as we did that, the ability to share and experience how you can modernize and digitize some of your landscape quicker is a lot easier when we can do it face-to-face, when we can show the demo, when we can give you an experience which is unparalleled, that you cannot visualize sometimes digitally. So a hybrid kind of setup is now acceptable and very useful. We used to do that pre-pandemic also, where we used to have most demos which were online, show everybody. And once the customer says, yeah, it's great, we would then travel and physically have that implemented in their setup, etc. I think now that is picking up more momentum, where travel is still there. Because during the pandemic, everything was digital. There was no travel. And now we are saying we're going back to the pre-pandemic stage where there will be digital activity, which has gone up. So if we were doing 50% digital and 50% travel pre-pandemic, I think we'll probably be doing 60% digital and 40% travel now. And from a retail and a business perspective, as much as people would travel, there would be more business activity, and more business activity results in more investments coming in from a broader landscape.
Praveen, there's no doubt the economy has taken a hit due to a pandemic. What is the outlook for Malaysia and Asia Pacific for progressive post-pandemic economic growth?
Yeah, most economies have taken a hit during the pandemic, and I think most governments have tried to cushion it. I think from an APAC and a Malaysia perspective, post-pandemic, we've already seen huge volumes, especially in the financial space. Banks and insurance companies have started to enhance and improve their infrastructure because they're finding the workloads are simply too high. During the pandemic, everything was digital. So people thought that was they were scaling during the pandemic. And that's why almost all IT companies and software companies like us were having a very good time because everybody was buying, especially the IT side, and was helping us. And everybody thought that scale was enough. What we didn't anticipate is post-pandemic, that volume will continue to remain while additional volume would come in. As an example, if we went in and said that, yeah, I was banking online, I was doing shopping online. So you had e-commerce websites, you had your own retail outlet where you could shop online. But now the moment the borders open, moment travel open, moment people could go to stores, now you have even volumes of the retail side coming up. So there are more credit card transactions. There's more scanning happening there. There's more airline traffic that's coming in. So if you are an entity which is having the workloads coming in from different angles, you've suddenly started seeing a spurt in transactions, which already went up during the pandemic because there was a higher level of digitization at that time. So what we're seeing is post-pandemic, as much as economies are going to be responsive to what's happening, we do see investments going up significantly in the financial space to cater to workloads that are going up. We're seeing investments happening in the retail space where we're seeing there are investments going up and across automotive, et cetera. You see waiting time going up. The only area where we see challenges is around the supply chain aspect. And we are trying to address areas like that by saying, can we look at modernizing some of your processes so that you can plan ahead, so that you can analyze the data that you have and see if we can plan the business outlook a lot better along with your infrastructure outlook.
So from a tech standpoint, what do you think will be the biggest demands of the post-pandemic travel scene, both locally and globally?
One of the biggest demands post-pandemic on the travel scene, both locally and globally, is going to be the ability to provide solutions that companies would give from a non-touch perspective. Because pre-pandemic, non-touch was there. You know, most of them used to look at that aspect. But post-pandemic, that's just gone up significantly in terms of volume. And that drives us to a behavior of trying to do analytics. You know, how many people are traveling? How are they shopping? How are they wanting to have a business experience with you, either inside the hospitality industry or in the retail industry? And some of this data could be stored in legacy environments. Sometimes you may have business processes which you've defined on your retail infrastructure, which you want to innovate because the steps that you're taking in a physical form are not necessarily the same that you would have in a digital form. And in a hybrid form, those steps would be different. So if you want to understand those processes, if you just go and say, I'll rewrite the process, it's going to be fairly difficult. But if you were to understand the process, understand which applications do they connect with, how can I interact with different applications and give you a very seamless experience, then it would be easier for the organization and the end user to have a very healthy relationship. And that's what we see demands coming in there, saying, can I understand my process? When I'm modernizing, can I do it right the first time by stitching applications together, understanding the process workflows a lot better, et cetera.
Hmm. Hey, Praveen, do you think the travel scene is doing enough to embrace new tech-driven solutions? And I guess, what can the industry do to improve?
Tech travel always had a lot of digitization in it. There is modernization going on in that aspect. And we believe most of the tech travel scene will continue to move to an environment which supports the mobile UX experience. And as much as you want to do modernization or workflow, ensure you have content available. As an example, you go into a hotel, the first thing they ask you is for your ID. They say, okay, can I have a look at your passport? Can I have a look at your social or your government ID if you're a native in that particular country, etc. And the same thing happens at the airline. If we could have an experience where this data is already available to them in a scanned form, and because they scan this content and store it, especially for compliance and government purposes, one of the solutions we provide is the ability to store this content available for certain users only, and you have data protection. in such a way that the content that you store is not visible to everybody who can access that particular device or that particular area where you've stored it. And also make sure you redact it. So you save content, but you've scanned the passport, you've scanned the government ID, but then you redact the content. So if anybody's seeing it, they don't see content beyond which they need to visualize. And also delete that content when the timeline's over. You know, you don't need to store that scan data forever. The government has regulations around it. So similar to the travel scene, which is adopting more technology, we see Rocket also being part of that journey where we can help in modernizing, securing, making sure your data is compliant, as well as making sure that you conform to government regulations at the same point of time, and giving that experience to the end user that, hey, you know, if I am giving my data to this particular hotel or this particular airline, it's pretty safe. They are storing it in a particular location. They're not going to be violating any GDPR kind of regulations, et cetera, because tech solutions help you do things, but you have to do it right. And that's where Rocket comes and helps you with.
Great. That was Praveen Kumar, the Senior Vice President and GM of Asia Pacific for Rocket Software. We're going to take a short break. We've got some music. It's Aerosmith with Falling in Love. We'll be back after these messages. We've got somebody else on the line. We have Ajit Melakode from, he's the Vice President of APJ for Boomi. That's all coming up after these messages. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. We're talking about digital transformation in a travel-ready Malaysia. We'll be right back here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysians. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Discussion today is all about digital transformation in a travel-ready Malaysia. It's me and Frida here in the studio. 2 years of border controls. We've transitioned to the endemic phase a couple of months ago. We've not only welcomed back international travellers, but we've accelerated business digitalization by 3 to 4 years to get the country back on track and to help boost economic growth. We've been speaking to a bunch of people so far. Well, by a bunch of people, I mean one person. Praveen. Praveen is the Senior Vice President and GM of Asia Pacific for Rocket Software. We do have somebody else coming up, though.
Which makes it a bunch.
Which makes it a bunch, yes. By bunch, I meant, you know, you guys at home, if you have any comments and you want to talk to us about today's topic, WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. Who have we got?
We've got Ajit Melakode, Vice President of APJ for Boomi. So thanks for being with us, Ajit. You know, Ajit, while many businesses evolved to more digital services in the last 2 years, the travel industry had to slow down due to stringent border controls. So what is the state of digitalization within the travel space?
Thanks for having me on the show. Travel connects the world, and Boomi as a category-leading SaaS company connects everyone to everything anywhere. So lots of parallels for today's session. We've all realized that 100% digital may not be, you know, panacea or utopia after all. I don't think the travel sector has done too badly on digital at all. In fact, that's the very reason that, you know, travel has restarted at pace. It's due to, you know, the digital transformation efforts. Whether you're scouring the internet for tickets or booking COVID tests online or logging your vaccination certificates to gain, you know, entry permits and visa approvals based on health status, that's all, I would say, because of the fairly healthy status of the, you know, the technology advancements through digital transformation, you know, in the region. I mean, you've got the MySJ app in Malaysia, you've got Trace Together in Singapore, all great examples of, you know, digital-led reopening of travel. I guess in the IT sector, we use a lot of servers. People keep hearing of servers, you know, in IT. You know, a server is nothing more than someone or something that serves. And I would say in conclusion that we've got to keep that in mind when we look at digitization. I mean, digital transformations and digitization has to serve the needs of end stakeholders and end customers. So my personal opinion would be that, you know, you can't, you know, make technology changes just happen for the sake of it and for the sake of buzzwords. So you see a lot of buzzwords like cloud, you know, APIs, RPA. You have to ask why. Why do I have to use these technologies? What end business outcomes am I serving? Am I serving the end customer well? So I would say that while the more technology-led aspects of digital transformation and digitization have progressed extremely well, as I've outlined, I think we've got a little bit more to go in terms of serving customer outcomes. If I give you two examples of where I guess the travel sector has got a little bit more room to improve is touch points with, you know, with customers. They need to be outcome focused and meaningful. I mean, what do customers want at the core? You know, best prices, getting to destinations of their choice, and kind of information on both. So if your listeners or I am trying to find options to travel, let's say on business to Australia, and we keep getting pop-ups on our phone for holidays there rather than seat availability and schedules, that can be kind of annoying. And I don't think, you know, the travel sector's there, or there are pockets that haven't got there yet, or making sure the touch points with the customer are, you know, business outcome focused and they serve the customer needs. The second area which I could cite is loyalty programs. I mean, there are so many. There are airline loyalty programs, there are airline alliance loyalty programs, there are airport-based loyalty programs, duty-free shops in airport-based loyalty programs, local transport-led, local government-led loyalty programs. Again, I think the travel sector would do well to rationalize, ask, you know, what purpose so many travel loyalty programs could serve. How could they better serve the customer needs at the end of the day?
So, Ajit, this term digital borders has been used in the travel and tech space quite a lot. Can you explain what that means and why it's an important concept?
Vision and ability to execute are equally important. In fact, they are the two axes based on which Gartner has rated Boomi a leader in their magic quadrant for enterprise iPaaS, 8 years in a row straight now. Again, on this, I'll have to say, focus on serving customer outcomes, not just technology outcomes, is really, really important. So we've ticked the box on technical capabilities, on digital transformation, but have we ticked the box on generating business outcomes, serving business needs, serving customers from implementing those, you know, digital capabilities? So very simply, if we look at digital borders as when, where, and how we do things around physical borders that are being converted into digital borders. So you can look at it as sort of three stages on the when. So firstly, before you cross the border, previously you just had to have, you know, you needed a passport, you needed a visa, and then off you go, you could travel. Now you need a passport, you need a visa, you probably need special pre-travel clearance based on your health status. You probably need, depending on where you're traveling to, you need a virus test. You need vaccination history lodged, inward and outward declarations while you're sitting on the aircraft. And then when you actually land, you could look forward to some sort of zero human touch entry as well as departure at the immigration gates, you know, on the border. And when I'm talking about, you know, when you're actually in an airport, you're entering that gray zone of post-immigration, but not yet on the aircraft. A lot of people who are traveling, a lot of listeners today might, you know, have noticed that not all airport terminals are operating at capacity. Once you cross immigration, you may not find enough shops, you may not find enough to eat. So you may need to, you know, look for what is available in an airport beforehand, you know, using digital channels, how long they're open, what's really available, what's seating capacity. These are the different aspects of vision and execution, which I guess the travel sector and the travel ecosystem does need to look at in terms of a seamless digital experience. We've also got to look at it from a work and employee perspective. I mean, working across borders, I guess, is mainly restricted by tax and tax domicile laws. You know, COVID, for those, you know, people in those industries lucky enough to work from anywhere, COVID has demonstrated that we can work from anywhere. So I guess the task of governments and companies is to show that, you know, a particular location is particularly favorable to act as a digital hub to then flexibly work to any target destination or with any other destination anywhere else. So from a domicile perspective, I guess governments need to make their particular locations attractive for people to want to base themselves there, live there, and work there, no matter what they're working on. And I guess what they're working on is only bounded by the tax domicile laws.
You know, Ajit, what are some ways that both public and private companies can help streamline digital transformation efforts on data governance, integrated customer experience, and accelerated support for digital transactions to boost the post-pandemic economy?
Recent research that we commissioned with the Fifth Quadrant CX shows that companies, and we surveyed 200 prominent companies across the Asia-Pacific, you know, region, 46% of them had 2,000 or more employees. The research showed that companies that adopted integration platforms did substantially better at digital transformation. To boil it down very simply, I think four things that companies need to get right are just getting the basic connections right, and iPaaS does that. Whether you're connecting RPA processes, you know, robotic processes, manual processes, IoT devices, whether you're modernizing, and that's, you know, some of that is moving to the cloud, moving off legacy, making sure you've got the latest versions of applications running, finding new ways of doing things. So for example, you can't just give someone who's always had an old style analog phone, a smartphone, and say, hey, here you go, you can do things a new way. You've got to train them, you've got to bring them up to speed on how to use it. I think the post-pandemic economy is going to see a continuation of hybrid work, which in turn will drive the need for integration between different types of work environments, you know, onshore, offshore, you know, I talked about borderless work, and then ensuring that there is a stringent security wrapper around all these environments, because sometimes, you know, working from home environment might be quite different from a security framework compared to working in a more robust office. And it becomes particularly important in sectors like the financial sector, where if you onboard contractors to work in a hybrid environment, then you need to run checks on them. You need to run checks on the network that contractors, as well as your own employees, you know, are using at home. As a matter of fact, nothing that we're doing here is, you know, what we haven't tested on ourselves as, you know, as Boomi. You know, some people call it, you know, eating your own, you know, dog food. But given the quality of our product, we prefer to call it drinking our own champagne. Even it's Malaysia eating our own nasi lemak, but we're pretty proud of it.
Okay, Ajit, so what are some things that governments can do to aid digitalization, especially within the travel space?
I don't want to sound too theoretical, so we'll keep the answer short. I think customers expect the same standard of service on government digital services as they used to in the private sector, you know, on e-commerce. Connected services currently do differ in quality across different government departments and across, you know, different countries in the region. I think this is a good area to pay attention to. ASEAN leaders are fortunately committed to use digital to drive tourism and travel across the region, which is great news. If there were four areas to look at, I would say, you know, the, you know, before travel, at the border, and post border that I referred to earlier, there needs to be standardization across the testing, the vaccine information, the submissions required, the protocol to be followed across the different countries in the region, you know, even at a standardization level across ASEAN would be great. That will then drive the digital transformation required to support it. Secondly, governments need to show the way by setting really high standards of execution on digital borders. As, you know, we discussed earlier, it's not enough to just have a vision. Execution needs to be good too. I think Singapore has done a fantastic job on showing the way on digital borders. You know, but countries would do well to pay attention to different processes, keeping in mind that customers expect the same standard of service as in the commercial sector on things as simple as e-passport applications and how long that takes to process, to more complex health information filing, especially if you're unfortunate enough to fall ill. Set bold objectives and fund plans at a national level with bold visions. I think Malaysia has been fantastic, you know, in this. You know, MSC Malaysia is now officially Malaysia Digital, and it's contributed immensely since its formation, you know, in the late 1990s. Malaysia's My Digital plans, you know, GDP growth led by innovation are very bold and very clear. And according to the Honorable Communications and Multimedia Minister, I believe the digital economy, including e-com and IT, contribute about 22% to GDP, which, you know, is a fantastic start. If there are, you know, sort of two things at the tactical level that we can pick to look at, you know, amongst the things that I've, you know, outlined, strengthening travel safety in the sort of post-arrivals phase and driving convenience by adoption of, you know, digital payments versus cash can be done, you know, across this region. I mean, India has done a great job at this. You know, if you deep dive on the Indian example, I think India processes more digital transactions than any other country on the planet. And then secondly, driving more interoperable contact tracing and health information sharing and protocols would be a super initiative to standardize at least across the ASEAN region.
Ajit, never mind. I'm preparing for my long weekend getaway. But, you know, seriously, what are some of the challenges you foresee for the travel scene from a tech standpoint in the next 2 or 3 years?
The best tech is that which is never noticed when it's working properly. You just take it for granted and notice it acutely when it's not working properly. I mean, at the one end, we see things just working and, you know, airports and railway stations and bus networks just working. And at the other end, we've all seen examples of website crashes or personal data being stolen that's in the news. The second is talent. You know, we're only as good as our talent in any sector. You know, all sections through the value chain, you know, need the travel sector needs to have, you know, good talent. The third point would be to make sure there are no nasty cost surprises. Because when you don't have a platform that's easy to use in technology, easy to learn, easy for the talent that you're still harvesting to pick up and, you know, maintain and upgrade, then that can lead to challenges for the CFO that are highly, you know, avoidable. I'd also like to, you know, underline the challenge of being agnostic. You know, as we see lots of companies making the mistake of locking themselves into one technology or one platform or one platform's ecosystem. You know, with us, we don't believe in that. We believe in being completely agnostic in terms of whether, you know, customers want to be on the cloud or on-prem or in third-party data centers. You know, we're there. And, you know, we're not aligned with any other, you know, software platform or software company. It's completely independent. If I take all these down a level to the travel industry, it becomes very relevant because capacity is a big issue in the travel industry now as we slowly come out of the into the post-COVID, post-endemic world. You know, you need the data and the single source of truth on capacity management across the ecosystem, not just a single view of the customer, but the entire, you know, ecosystem of that particular subsector. The next is costs. I mean, fuel costs are going up for all modes of transport. All of that can be mitigated by having at least a single source of the truth. Loyalty programs we talked about earlier, getting that 360-degree view of customers across multiple parties, across the ecosystem. Other than that, I would look at sustainable travel and ensuring that, you know, the industry caters to younger traveler profiles for ethical travel.
Yeah.
And then, you know, information sharing on future endemics, God forbid that there's no more.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. That, of course, was Ajit Melakote, the Vice President of APJ for Boomi. All the time we have for today. Feature-packed show today.
Right,
time for me and Frida to wrap up for the day. Enjoy your long weekend, folks, but don't go anywhere because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, it is the Breakfast Replay. Yeah, Breakfast Grill Replay is with Alex Lim, the CEO of Benno Technologies. All that and more, and if you miss any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally get it from. On behalf of myself and Frida, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.